Contact High by author Vicky Toback gives a rare look into hip-hop history through its visual chroniclers, photographers, and their contact sheets. Featuring rare outtakes from over 100 photo shoots alongside interviews and essays from industry legends, Contact High, a visual history of hip-hop, takes readers on a chronological journey from old school to alternative hip-hop and from analog to digital photography. The ultimate companion for music and photography enthusiasts, Contact High is the definitive history of hip-hop's early days, celebrating the artists that shaped the iconic album covers, t-shirts, and posters beloved by hip-hop fans today. Vicky Toback and Contact High, today on The Keenest Observers. Vicky Toback is a journalist whose writing has appeared in The Fader, Complex, Mass Appeal, The Undefeated, Paper Magazine, ID Magazine, The Detroit News, Vibe, and many others. She's a former producer and columnist for CBS MarketWatch, CNN, Bloomberg News, Tech TV, and other leading media organizations. Vicky Toback, thanks for being a part of the Keenest Observers on Jefferson Exchange today. And I hope, I think it's that I've been digesting this exhaustive, beautiful book that you've put together that I'm so like discombobulated this morning. I just want to say some names for people so they know. Nas, Public Enemy, Scarface, Erykah Badu, Aaliyah, Queen Latifah, Eminem, Lauryn Hill, Jay-Z's first photo shoot, Salt and Pepper. The list is exhaustive. Thank you for being here. Tell me about this book. How did you come up with this idea?
Wow, Robert, thank you so much for having me. And you're making me smile over here by because you're one of the first people that's actually seen the book. You know, it comes out next month. Right. So it's beautiful to hear. And truly, it was a labor of love. And, you know, hip-hop, I mean, the story of hip-hop has been told in many ways. We've dissected the lyrics. We've talked about some of the, you know, socioeconomic foundations of why it came about. But really, the look of hip-hop and the chroniclers of hip-hop and the people that were there really documenting what hip-hop looked like hasn't really been told. So my inspiration was to tell the story of these photographers and these documentarians that have been doing this, you know, the book kicks off in the late 70s. So we really started from the beginning. And, you know, by telling it through the contact sheets, it was a way to kind of go deeper into the story. You know, the contact sheet, you can see not just Nas, but you can see all his producers, you know, in the studio. You can see him in Queensbridge, you know, before the album comes out, like figuring out what do I want to say with my album cover, not just with my lyrics. So it really tells this bigger story, and this bigger story of the collective of shooters that told the story.
Yeah, let's talk about that. And let's go back for the sake of all the breadth of our audience. And what is a contact sheet? Because everyone may not know that in this time, which I think is an interesting point that you make in this book, which is beyond like coffee table photography. It's history, it's image, and it talks about the form. You know, the photography as an art and aesthetic. What is a contact sheet?
So before the age of digital, which we're in now, you know, everything was shot on analog film. So, you know, cameras, you had to load in the film. and you usually had, you know, depending on what you were shooting with, but you had 36 frames to get your shot. Or, you know, if you were shooting with a Hasselblad, you had 12 frames. So, you know, and you didn't see the photos real time, and you had to go into the photographers had to go into the dark room, you know, develop that film and create a contact sheet. And the contact sheet was the manifestation of these 36 frames or 12 frames, where you could go through and select, you know, the money shot. Like what was going to be the image that would be on the album cover or on the magazine cover or would become the iconic image or the image that they wanted. So the contact sheet in many ways was like a working document for the photographer, and they'd use that to collaborate with the artist, to go through all the options. They'd show it to editors at the magazines. So in many ways, and now, you know, in the age of digital, that's all change. So most photographers, you know, don't really shoot with analog film anymore. They shoot digital. They see things real time. And it's really changed the way artists and photographers collaborate and the whole workflow. So, so the contact sheet really is in many ways a thing of the past and the perfect way to, you know, tell that history.
Yeah, we'll get into this a little later, but I want to thank you for the advanced digital copy. And I tried to fit it on my computer screen, and I was struck by that point that, you know, you're kind of implying that we don't engage in the same way, or that it's real time, or that you can't see everything in the setup that you would if you had the tangible copy in paper form. As a media professional, what do you think about that right now? What do you think about that issue, and how do you think Contact High has played a role in your view?
Well, I hear, you know, when I've done talks here and there about hip-hop photography and the contact sheets at schools or universities, you know, a lot of the kids are like, wow, you know, I probably would have deleted half of those shots. And I, you know, it's very hard for them to imagine a world where imagery isn't so fast and isn't so, disposable in many ways. And, you know, you think about it later, you know, later down the line, these images, had they been deleted, I mean, you wouldn't see, you know, Nas and Tupac or together, you know, because at the time Nas was a nobody. Or you wouldn't see, you know, the hallway of Bronx River houses, you know, with these parties, or you wouldn't see a lot of the imagery. So, you know, thank goodness there wasn't a way to delete back then. But also today, you know, artists are much more controlling of their image and their imagery. And nowadays, you know, if you're a photographer and you do a shoot with Beyonce or Jay or any, you know, pretty much any artist, they're going to own those photos. Like, it's a full buyout. You don't get to decide what goes out into the world. You don't get to decide, you know, what goes on Instagram. Like, the control.
Vicky, let me interrupt you right quick, and we can get back to that. We have to take this first break because that's the juicy part of what we're going to get into. We're talking to Vicky Toback, and her book, Contact High, is coming out in November 2019. Stay tuned.
Crown of the metropolis, shining like who on top of this? People was tussling, arguing and bustling. Gangsters are god thumb, hardcore hustling.
Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Robert Goodwin, and we're talking to author Vicky Toback, whose new book is Contact High, A Visual History of Hip Hop. You're welcome to join this conversation. Call us at 800-838-3760 or email comments and questions to jx@jeffnet.org. And I cut you off, and you were talking about how artists would own all of the media that used to be kind of accessible. So tell me more about that.
So it's something, you know, I hear from photographers nowadays a lot, you know, this a lot of times everything is, you know, working with big name artists, everything is pre-planned, and there's a team, and a lot of what that intimacy and collaboration that photographers speak of in the past that was really between them and the artist and capturing these, like, intimate moments has been lost. Or, you know, sometimes what is quoted as, you know, intimate and unplanned is really actually very planned in this day of Instagram. So, you know, oftentimes before a photographer will even have an initial conversation with the artist these days, they've gone through their entire, you know, stylist team and branding team and marketing team, and, you know, has come up with 500 lookbooks before they can even have a moment of, who is this person? How do I want to photograph them? How do they want to be photographed? And that really kind of simple exchange that, you know, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen now, and the stakes are very high. You know, there's a lot of money at stake, and it's a new day for image making.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's an interesting way to put it. It is a new day for image making. I think, you know, you also have a background in news and producing news as well, and that has an interesting, I think, bead on storytelling. How did that influence the structure of this book, which I'd love to get into right now, because it has a very kind of multi kind of aesthetic feel. You know, like, it's news, it's history, it's photojournalism, there's essays, you know, there, you know, it's very, very, you know, holistic in its structure. How did you come up with that?
So, yeah, I have a background working in, you know, in traditional news at CNN and CBS, and, you know, working there, I saw how they treated their archives, and I saw how they treated, you know, the history of these important political moments. And I thought it was time, you know, for hip hop and this imagery to have that same treatment. I mean, hip hop is now, you know, over 40 years old. So surely all these images now create this really beautiful, important story arc of, you know, politics and race and, you know, identity and things like that. So I thought it was just really important first to step up seriously like that, you know. But, you know, really before that, so I got my start. I met a lot of these photographers when I was, you know, 19 years old. I started actually working not as a journalist, but I was working as for a small but really important hip hop label and management company called Payday Records.
Indeed.
Empire Management.
Yeah,
and you know, in the early 90s, I mean, there was just, you know, four of us working there. And so I was working with you know, groups like Gangstar, Shone AG, J.Ru, Mos Def's first group, you know, Jay-Z had a singles deal with us. So I was responsible for, you know, accompanying the artists to the photo shoots, and I met a lot of these photographers back then when they were really just first starting out, too. And then as I became a writer for early hip-hop magazines, you know, I would go out with some of these photographers to get our story. And so, you know, so I've really been a part of this for a long time, and so really felt comfortable, you know, telling these stories.
Yeah, you've got a part in this, like, fandom. I think I'm having a real solid fan moment because I started like delving into this book, I kept hearing like the songs from the iconic, you know, movie with Sanaa Lathan and Taye Diggs, Brown Sugar, you know, about, you know, and I started like, you know, thinking of, you know, of you as like, you know, the photo journalist, producer who, you know, started loving hip hop. And I was going to ask a corny question, like, when did you first start loving, you know, hip hop? But I think, you know, 19, it gives, in all seriousness, like a real seminal kind of foundational impression to a person doing the work. And I think it is worth asking, like, when did you decide that this was valuable to art and society? Because structurally, I just want to get to this, you all, for the audience to understand this. Vicky sets a timeline from 1979 to 2012 as the contents of the book. And within the structure of the book, you have iconic photography, the iconic photo with its accompanying contact sheet with the story from the photographer with editorial contextualization. That takes a lot, and someone who's definitely committed to giving holistic research. And it just intrigued me. How did you come to having this kind of love and respect for this art form?
Yeah, thank you, by the way. I appreciate that. You know, like I said, at 19, working directly with the artists and earning their trust and hearing how important imagery making was to them was really my foundation. But, you know, we could go back even further is like, why was I even drawn to, you know, work with Gangstar and work with them? And, you know, really, I mean, I grew up an immigrant kid in Detroit. A lot of times, you know, and grew up Section 8 housing, food stamps, all that stuff. So for me, music, specifically black music, I mean, Detroit being, you know, one of the historic places for that, answered so many questions that I had as, like, you know, kind of an angry young kid of, like, what's happening in America? What is America? Like, why are we living in this, like, effed up situation and those people over there are not? And, you know, for me, the music answered all those questions. So I knew, even as a teen, like, whatever these artists are creating, I just want to go and be part of that. And so, you know, I moved from Detroit to New York and got that job. And so that was truly the inspiration for working in the industry, and working with the musicians, and then coming, you know, to write this book.
We're talking to Vicky Tobok. Her book, Contact High, A Visual History of Hip Hop, drops November 2019. I can definitely feel that perspective. I'd love to know how you started the curatorial process of this book. What did the timeline influence the structure, or did the iconic images? And again, folks, this is the images that you've seen in album covers, press, magazine covers are what we're talking about in Contact High. So you're going to see a lot of images that you've seen out in the world. So I'm trying to understand how you kind of went about curating the work.
Yeah, you know, people ask, like, what is hip-hop photography? How did you come to define it? What were your parameters? And there were sort of two sets of criteria. I mean, one, you know, there's images that we all know. There's images that are, like, in our collective consciousness. There's the Biggie in the Crown, you know, King of New York image. There are, you know, the Gangstar Daily Operation image, you know, with Malcolm X and on the album cover. There's certain images that we all know. But also, you know, a second criteria for me was getting to photographers who didn't just do this, like, as, like, a job, you know, that this wasn't just like, oh, one day they shot Redman, the next day they shot Bob Dylan, and it was like whatever. Like, a lot of these photographers were really part of the culture that they were documenting. A lot of times they were documenting it for free. It wasn't, you know, they weren't getting paid, you know, anything to do it. And so, you know, I wanted to really make sure this collective of photographers that really loved the culture and documented it, whether it was, you know, a paid gig or not, what was their inspiration for clicking the shutter? What was their instinct that made them say, you know, this is important and I'm going to photograph this? So sort of those two sets. What were the iconic images? What's the stories behind them? And then who were these photographers that really dedicated themselves to doing that work?
Right. So you have photographers as early as, like, the 70s, the late 70s, and, like, Joe Conzo, who did the first, like, iconic shots of, like, Cool Herc, all the way to, you know, recent, you know, photographers that have documented those iconic, you know, images. What did you find were the differences, and how, like, easy was it for you to get those images and those contact sheets from those photographers?
Yeah, so Joe Conzo is actually a great example because he's from the Bronx. He went to high school with the Cold Crush brothers in the Bronx, and so he started photographing while they were all still in high school. They would go out to clubs, and you know, he would take their photographs, and the purpose was that they would then use that photograph on flyers to then promote their next shows, and so he wasn't even, you know, old enough to be in a lot of those clubs. And he was still in high school. And, you know, he was really part of the culture that he was documenting, you know, and that photograph of Cool Herc that actually opens the book that you're talking about, you know, that is on a contact sheet where, you know, you can see Tony Tone from Cold Crush. You can just see, you know, parts of the Bronx. You can see, you know, the club where they were, and, you know, tells the story of Cool Herc being this, you know, Jamaican immigrant who brought over, you know, sound system culture and created, you know, what we now know is hip hop. But the funny, you know, story about the photo is that Herc actually really hates that photo. I don't know if he still hates it, but Joe told me that he hates that photo because if you really look at it, his tongue is sticking out a little bit. You know, it was this very kind of imperfect, but perfectly imperfect photo. But, you know, Joe was like, that's the shot. You know, we were in the club, and I got a minute with them, and I knew who Herc was. You know, he's a little older than me, who was in high school, and that kind of starts off, you know, the book, and that was in 1979. But, you know, other photographers that are in the book, people like, you know, B Plus out of California, you know, who really documented a lot of like California culture. You have Danny Clinch, who, you know, photographed the Nas Illmatic cover, you know, before he even knew what that album would come to represent.
Right.
So, yeah, the photographers that really were there early and really were in it for more than just a job.
Yeah, I think that that's what's so interesting to me about the book is that if you're just a lover of photography and also a love of album covers, also a lover of story and history, you get the perfect mashup of all of them. I think, you know, the interesting, you know, thing that you talk about in your intro, and Questlove, who does the foreword as well, talks about giving the visual to what we hear, like the quote that Quest says that music should be seen and heard, is a beautiful, I think, a accomplishment that Contact High achieves. But it is somewhat of a throwback, you know. Are you making a commentary a little bit in that way by the production of this work that we need, you know, to see and hear?
You know, I mean, the book, it kind of had a natural throwback feel because, you know, film, you know, most people stopped shooting on film at a certain point, right around, you know, 2012, when the book kind of wraps up and we talk about that transition from film to digital, and also the transition of hip-hop becoming this super mainstream medium. So, you know, there is this time frame, but I hope, you know, like one thing in the book, Lisa Leon, who photographed Nas in the studio recording Illmatic, she, you know, she told me in the interview that's in the book, you know, she always tells kids these days, like, don't just come into a space and start shooting. Like, take a minute, observe, like, where are you? What's the dynamic? Who's here? Like, feel what you're about to document, and don't just come in there and be like, boom, 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 boom. And, you know, maybe that is the message if you know, of slowing down, of, like, just how we interact with observing and, you know, putting these images out into the world is, you know, it's such a fast-paced world. But, yeah, maybe slowing down will give us a better understanding of what we're seeing and what we're documenting.
Right. And so let me ask you this as well. How did you go about, like, giving the work space to kind of sit and let the images, like, one of the things we, you know, I'm a performing artist by training, and we say show, don't tell in the performing arts. And so I think you did a great job in letting the images tell the story and ride the chronology and history of hip hop in a particular way. where you didn't have to put the editorial blocks in front of the photographer's story. When did you find that was necessary, and when did you, you know, kind of let the thing breathe and tell its own story?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted the photographer's voice to be front and center, because this was really, you know, they have stories that really have never been heard before. And they oftentimes were, you know, the most, like, we're privy to these really deep moments that nobody else was. And so I really wanted the photographer's voice to be front and center. You know, on occasion, we have essays in here from RZA and DJ Premier and Young Guru and Fab Five Freddy. I mean, their telling of the imagery as well, where, you know, we wanted the artist's voice in there. But primarily, you know, it was seeing the photos, letting them really, you know, be these epic moments where you could see, and then hearing the stories behind them. And, you know, I, in all honesty, I probably wrote like three times as much as you actually see in the book. But, you know, thanks to my wonderful editor at Random House, you know, and a finite page count, you know, there was quite a bit of story that was left on the cutting room floor. And also a lot of photos, you know, because for every shoot, there's often multiple contact sheets, right, depending on how many rolls the photographer shot. But so the editing process was painful because I fell in love with all of it, but we got to a good medium.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you an unfair question on the other side of the break. We're talking to Vicky Toback, and her book, Contact High, comes out November 2019. Stay tuned. We're back with the final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Robert Goodwin, hosting my guest, Vicky Toback, author of Contact High, A Visual History of Hip Hop, which will drop in November 2019. You're welcome to join this conversation. Call us at 800-838-3760 or email comments and questions to jx@jeffnet.org. I want to give you, I keep on saying 2019, it's actually 2018. I don't want to, like, you know, hold you down. This is, like, you know, a really beautiful book. It needs to come out as soon as possible. So it's November 2018. Vicky.
Next, it comes out in a few weeks.
In a few weeks, right? I can't wait, and I'm gonna wait to ask you this unfair question. I hope you have an idea of what I'm gonna ask you. What your favorite images are, and your favorite stories are. I know it's totally unfair, especially given what you just, like, gave us on the pain of, like, having to sort and, like, kind of edit the images, which I can't imagine, because the time is so exhaustive. But I would like to talk about the essays that are also in the book. You have really beautiful contributions from, like, Dr. Rhea Combs, who heads the Smithsonian African American Museum, and, you know, all kinds of really interesting insight into hip hop, photography, and the images, you know, from a real, like, sociological standpoint, just you know, grassroots ground levels. I'm from the Midwest. You immigrated to the Midwest. I understand how the boundary between, like, house culture and dance music, especially from, you know, being a you know, the family of Chicagoans and the Detroit connection, moved to hip hop. I think, you know, the article and essay that Dr. Combs writes is really interesting in terms of, like, giving a context of the value of hip hop. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, I mean, also, yeah. Dr. Combs is also from Detroit, and now, you know, the photo curator at the Smithsonian African American Museum. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, I thought it was really important to place this imagery in the larger context of black photography and African American, you know, visual culture. And so she was the perfect person to do it. She also was responsible for bringing in a really important collection that's now part of the museum. It was the Bill Adler iJammy collection is what it's called. Bill Adler, for those of you that don't know, was the head of publicity at Def Jam Records and started collecting all these photos. And he had a gallery for a little bit in New York, but really just had this amazing, amazing archive of photos. Part of his archive went to the Cornell Hip Hop collection, but his photos specifically went to the African American Museum. And so they're actually on display now, I think through the spring, in a show, an exhibition called Represent. And Rhea, you know, curated that. She brought that collection to the museum. And so I just thought it was really important to, you know, take these photos and put them into a more historical, larger context. You know, you asked me what were some of my favorites, and it's very hard to choose because they're all so different. But, you know, I like a lot of the photos that were firsts in the book. Like, for example, we have like Kendrick Lamar's first photos from 2007. We have Biggie's first photo shoot. We have Kanye's first photo shoot in, you know, in Chicago, which he did to actually like get the Kanye West URL from the photographer, which the photographer had bought. There's a great photo of Mobb Deep with a bunch of their friends in Queensbridge, which was photographed by Delphine Fuundu, one of actually many women photographers in the book. I just wanted to you know, point that out, that there were a lot of women photographers doing the book. And then, you know, one photo that's really near and dear to my heart, just because the process of how it happened, there is a photo of Nas and Tupac that the research of this book sort of brought to light. The quick story on that, there's a very famous photo of Biggie and Tupac. Biggie in the Morehouse t-shirt, Tupac from 1993. And when I asked the photographer, Al Pereira, for the contact sheet of that, the last few frames had Nas in it. Like, he had jumped in the frame. This was a year before Illmatic was released. The photographer didn't know who he was. So you can kind of see in the contact sheet how, like, you know, he marks up the contact sheet where he was going to crop Nas out. And he was just going to have, like, the famous guys in it. So, you know, when I put that photo up in our Instagram, everyone thought it was photoshopped. Everyone was like, oh, we know that photo, and like Nas wasn't there. And, you know, Nas himself was even surprised that that photo came to be. So, you know, and there was never an existing photo of Nas and Tupac together, and they had a kind of a tumultuous history, but, you know, the two of them actually, you know, meant a lot to each other. And then in addition to that, the photo also has a childhood friend of Nas's draws from Queensbridge that has passed away in that photo. So, you know, doing that work, like showing all the sequence of the contact sheet, uncovered, you know, this history that maybe wouldn't have been found, and just meant a lot, you know, to the artists and to, you know, to history. So that's a favorite, a few favorites of mine.
We're talking to Vicky Toback. Her book, Contact High, A Visual History of Hip Hop, is released November 2018. I slowed down to get that correct. Vicky, have you let artists and photographers see like advanced copies? And if so, what's been their response?
So most of the photographers have seen it, and they love it. You know, they love that their work is being given, you know, this historic treatment, and that they're in there with, you know, their collective of shooters and friends and photographers. And also photographers love seeing each other's contact sheets. You know, it's sort of like a little secret work process, and they're like, you know, a lot of it is like, oh, you only got like one frame, everything else is overexposed, or, you know, so they love kind of seeing each other's workflows be out like that. Not a lot of the artists have seen the book. That was slightly on purpose because I didn't want an influx of like, oh, don't use that photo. Like, I don't look good here. I look better here. You know, like that times, you know, the hundreds of artists that are in this book, that would have just made for a mess. I have shown it to like Styles P and his wife Ajua, who are friends of mine. Like, they saw some of the early iterations of the book and, you know, really appreciated the historical value. Styles is in a really important photo that was taken by Gordon Parks called A Great Day in Hip Hop, that brought together over 200 hip hop artists for kind of like a class photo for the cover of XXL magazine. So when he saw that, he was like, wow, you know, even this Gordon Parks photo is in here. But yeah, I'm excited to hear, you know, what some of the artists have to say when they see the book. But the photographers love it.
Right. Like, I can imagine being able to kind of see and how, like you said, how people work and like how, you know, do you get like great shots on all of your shots, or you know, did you just, you know, capture the moment? How that could be really, really important to them.
And it's important to show mistakes.
Yeah.
I think that's important for everyone, you know, artists, everyone. Like, you know, Jay-Z didn't become Jay-Z overnight. Like, he, you know, he made a lot of mistakes and he perfected his style and he worked at it. And, you know, this photo of Kendrick that's in the book, like, you see him in the studio kind of frustrated, you know, and trying to figure it out and making mistakes. And I think that's another important part of the book is, you know, by showing the mistakes and the growth of both, you know, the artists and the photographers, I hope that's inspirational to, you know, to young photographers and to young artists and really to anyone who is perfecting their craft, is that, like, you know, it's not perfect right away.
Right, I think that that's an incredible point to make, and I think you the stories of the photographers that you capture, you know, really do that really well. Like the story about Mos Def's first group with his, you know, siblings, and the fact that they had spaces to go and practice, like, and, you know, at the Brooklyn Moon Cafe in Brooklyn, and during that '90s time where a lot of folk, especially in Fort Greene, and they're in other neighborhoods, most definitely in that area, and probably across the country, were, you know, honing their crafts and having spaces to go and practice and kind of work with each other. And I think that that's what's beautiful about the representation in this book, is that you see all of the artists kind of coming together to make, you know, what we know as art. And you need all of those elements: archivists, performers, folk who support and present, people who help, you know, get the people to the photo shoot, you know, much less, you know, the crafting.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up, you know, spaces too. I mean, the beginning of the book, you have places like Skate Key Roller Rink, Bronx River Houses, you know, you mentioned, you know, a lot of the, like, poetry spots in Fort Greene. These spaces and clubs were really, really important in the shaping of what became the music, and that's oftentimes where the photographers would go first, you know, before shooting the album covers, is seeing the artists in these spaces. And again, that's something, you know, the white backdrop culture of photography nowadays, it was the spaces were crucial to that. So I'm happy to hear that you noticed that in the book.
Most definitely. I think that's the convening. All of us who moved in those spaces, regardless of aesthetic, you know that those convening spaces in community, you know, are the places that you get to build and you get to develop and you get to meet minds, and that's where the fertile ground of the work really, you know, one of the fertile grounds of the work really resides. I am very interested to see how the music world kind of receives this work. Much like the hip hop pioneers that are shot in the book, and the photographers like Joe Conzo, who just as a teenager, documented early hip hop. There's a certain kind of marginalization that I'll say that exists within like those contributions, at least the early contributions. And I wonder how your work will be received, and because now hip hop is lauded in a way, and legitimized in a way, but you really present a time when it wasn't, as well as what it, is. You make a commentary about that, or I think you do. What do you feel like you make a commentary about the legitimization of hip hop?
I mean, absolutely. I think the work speaks for itself. I mean, this was, a medium that, it was it's black music, and it was captured by many, photographers like, that were Latino, African American, women. Like this was a larger statement of, hip hop before it went mainstream, and who was around those spaces and who was doing that work. And so I think the totality of the work and the stories and who you see in here, I mean, people like Jamel Shabazz, for example, who wasn't photographing artists, but he was photographing, culture and people in the streets of Brooklyn and capturing all these like visual signifiers, the fashion, how people chose to portray themselves. And so, someone like Jamel Shabazz, like his one photo was used for a Roots cover of Undone, but he didn't photograph a lot of like celebrities or artists, but he absolutely is central to this book for the work that he did. So I think it all kind of speaks to itself, and you'll see that it's maybe not the usual suspects in this book, but it's absolutely the story of the collective.
Vicki Toback, thanks for joining us today. Your book, Contact High, is a great contribution to hip-hop. So that's it for today's exchange. You can learn more about the program, listen to the program, or suggest a guest at our website, jeffexchange.org. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at JX Exchange. The Exchange is produced by John Baxter, student assistant down there. Willison is at the controls today. If you're listening to The Morning, The Takeaway is next. If you're listening to our evening rebroadcast, stay tuned for the news from the BBC. I'm Robert Goodwin. Have a great day.